This is the last of our Advent, Christmastide, Epiphany series. And from this day forward, the altar will be rearranged and the Bible will come back. The Christ candle will be put away. For to us, the Christ candle is a remembrance, a reminder that that flame burns within each and every one of us from this day forward. And as we come to the Christ, so too the Christ comes to us, because it's a two-way giving and taking. As we open our lives, so too Jesus opens His. And that, my dear friends, is the answer to the sermon title, What Gift Did God Bring? If you would, open your scriptures to the book of John. We're going to be reading John 1, 1 through 18. As we see here, the Word of God in my Bible right now, I'll be switching this out come next week to the new Bibles that we're going to be starting to preach from. The Word became flesh is the title here. And the reality was, at this point in time in history, when we're looking back, Christ had already been here for approximately 2 years. And three wise men, three magicians, three astronomers, three men of renown, three wealthy men, are called kings. They've come, and literally we really don't know how many there were. It tells us in scriptures that wise men came from the east. There isn't a number. The number was put on by the church. Isn't that kind of cool? Three. Sounds good. Okay? Why does it sound good? Because, well, the Trinity. Let's use that number. Three. The reality is we have no idea how many there were. There was more than one because it's plural. But they're not the point of the story. The point of the story is that the people who He was come for were completely blind to what was before them. And it took foreigners, strangers, to begin to open the eyes of the people. Let us read the Word of God from the first verse of the first chapter of the book of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning Him. He cries out, saying, "This was He of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. The grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." Blessed be the reading, the Word of God. Amen. This scripture is packed with a lot of theological inference to God and man, and just what happens among us and what God gave to us, what gift God did bring. But the greatest thing that it speaks of here is the reality that we see in verse 16. From the fullness of His grace, we have received one blessing after another. The greatest gift that was given to us through Jesus Christ was the full grace of God. If you're a dispensationalist, in other words, if you're a person who believes that there are different ages in the world, we first started out at the age of innocence, or the dispensation of innocence. And then we moved into the dispensation of law. And then we moved into the dispensation of grace. And that's where we stand today, in the church age. We're in the dispensation of grace. In other words, there's something ruling over us. As it was in the beginning, innocence ruled over Adam and Eve. And that was a very short period of time. And then the age or dispensation of law, which was the largest period of time, took place. And now we are walking in the age of grace, which is only about 2,000 years old. The age of the law took a very big piece of time. And believe it or not, we have no idea how long grace will last. Because when grace is removed, what's left is called wrath and judgment. So we live in a time of grace. We live in a time when something is new here, something has been given to us that has never been given before, and I still don't think we fully understand grace. Many of us are glad we received grace, amen? Because grace allows us the opportunity to keep going. Because without grace, if we were in law, all we would have would be the expecting gloom and judgment that would be coming. But in grace, in Christ Jesus, we are given a freedom. And that's what we're going to talk about. Because as this new year begins, every time a new year happens, and I'm sure you folks are the same as I am, we look at it as, okay, I can start new. It's an excuse to start again, okay? How many people in our world make resolutions? Well, you know, it didn't work last year, so I'll make a new resolution this year. And I think it's funny because they make that resolution on January 1st at 12 o'clock on the strike of midnight, and by 12:30 they've broken it already. Some of us don't even get that far, right? Because we cannot do things in and of our own. We need the grace of God to carry us through. The gift that is given to us on this day, on this reality that is given to us on Christ's birth, is the greatest gift that we can ever be given and will ever be given. But it is a grace, it is a gift that is neglected by many people in our world, even people who are in Christ. Because they don't understand the grace that is afforded to them. Because grace leads us to transformation. You know, the name of this church isn't what it is because it's just haphazardly been given to us. What's the name of this church? The Heart of Christ Church. Say that with me. The Heart of Christ Church. What do we call ourselves? THOC. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Where do you go to church? THOC. What? What's that? Oh, that's a new church out there. We meet in Ebenezer. Why do you call yourself THOC? Well, that's the Heart of Christ Church. It's just too much to say. We're just THOC. Okay? Sounds like you're clearing your throat. THOC! Hang on to that one, Root. You're going to like where it goes. Because we are the Heart of Christ Church. But we're headed for something else. Because in grace, it does something to us. If we truly walk in grace, we're transformed. Because grace allows us to screw up and start again. How many times do we mess up every day? And every day, God's grace is new. Every day, God's grace is fresh. His mercies, His compassions. Turn to Lamentations. Please do that. Turn to Lamentations chapter 3. This is Old Testament. Yes, I know that. But the reality is, it's from the Old Testament that we understand just who God is and how much He loves us. Because the Old Testament is God's long-suffering for His people, for us here on earth. And from chapter 3, we're going to go to verse 19. That's where we're going to begin. We're going to begin in chapter 3, verse 19. Beginning in the 19th verse of the third chapter of the book of Lamentations, we read these words. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I will remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for Him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. To the glory of God be the reading of His Word. God's mercies, God's grace is fresh and new each and every day. In other words, what you did yesterday is where? Gone. Ask forgiveness. Move in that restoration. Christ the Redeemer has come. We're not stuck in the law that says it won't be erased. We're in grace that says it's remembered no more. It is no more. It is as it never happened. And that's where each and every one of us walks today. As we accept Jesus Christ into our lives, we walk in a grace. We walk in a mystery that can't be understood by human frame. Why? Because I want to ask every wife here, do you remember the first time your husband disappointed you? I'll ask my wife. Do you remember the first time your husband disappointed you? Oh, yes, you do. When we have an argument, she can remember everything. Things I forgot long ago are brought to memory. Okay, I'm picking on my wife. I'm allowed to. Look how red she's getting. Poor dear thing. But that's who we are. It's locked in there. We say we forgive something, but the reality is it's stuck in there and we can't get rid of it. So in the heat of the moment, when things are going bad, when things are down, when we're trying to protect ourselves, when we're walking by sight and not by faith, all of a sudden the thing that we realize is we're still controlled by the past. And we need to let go of the past and take a hold of the future in Christ, who gives us grace to start again and not be controlled by that past. Brother Wendell shared in our time this morning that when he's training these young men that are out there going to be flying these pieces of equipment, these helicopters that he's teaching them in, if you teach them right the first time and they get it, when they're under fire, they're going to do what they need to do. But if you teach them and they're all messed up, because that's what they learned, when they come under fire, when they need it most, they're still going to mess up. And that's what we have got to do. We've got to be retrained. And it's hard, it's difficult, because we hang on to the past no matter what. Why? Because it's our experience and we can't let go of it. I've watched Christians struggle, and I, as a Christian, have struggled to let go of things that are behind me. That's why in the book of Hebrews it tells us that we are to be unshackled, okay? That we are to run the race, all right? Casting off the sin that entangles us, because sin holds us back, sin wraps us up. And we feel as though we're stuck. We're tied down. But Christ has given us a grace that releases us from all of that, because He has taken that for us. And we need to understand it, that when we start to feel as though we're stuck in this thing, oh, but God can't forgive me for that. No, He has forgiven you. You're listening to the lie of Satan, and you're allowing him to entrap you. It is a trap. That sin is no longer there. By the grace of God, you have been set free. And the Word of God will what? Set you free, right? And when we are set free by Jesus Christ, we are what, Mitch?
Free indeed.
Free indeed. Nothing holds us. We are no longer under law, which brings death to those who cannot hold to the reality of it in its fullness. Because the Word of God says if you break one piece of the law, you're guilty of breaking it all, right? So that means the only thing that the people who lived under law, the longest period of time in the history of man, had no hope. Lest they sought a righteous life and to live unto the hope that Christ would come, that the Messiah would come and set us free. You see, everything in time, from the very beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned, what was their hope? Their hope was in the reality that the Christ would come, that God was going to do what only God could do into the future. Even though they were stuck where they were, they had to believe forward. Abraham believed forward. He never received the promise. It was given to him, but he never received it. Why did Abraham become the father of all the nations? Why is Abraham given the reality of our lives of being the father of us all? Because he saw forward to the cross of Christ, to the hope and fulfillment of that which the grace of God would bring. And you and I are living in that grace now, and we can't cast that gift away. You know, here it is after Christmas. Kids are going through their presents, and some of them have already taken the hiatus of the back of the closet. Think about it. And how many of us have taken the grace of God, shoved it in a box, and stuck it in the attic of our lives already? Or in the garage, or in the basement, or even worse, thrown it in the trash? Kind of like a wedding ring. What? Accidents happen. But the amazing thing about God is He allows us to find it again, doesn't He? Yes, He does. Yes, He does. And that's the glory of our Lord. Because the grace that He has is unfailing and unending. It does not go away. It does not end. It does not hold grudges, and it is fresh and new each and every morning. How great is the grace of God? How wide is the grace of God? How high is the grace of God? How deep is the grace of God? Look in the book of Romans with me in Romans chapter 5. Because each of us who is in Christ Jesus has been set free, because He who was life paid our debt sin. The grace of God has made us free in His love, and that love knows no bounds. The book of Romans, chapter 5, beginning in verse 15. From the 15th chapter, or 15th verse of the 5th chapter of the book of Romans, we read these words. But the gift is not like the trespass, for if the many died by the trespass of one man, that's speaking of Adam, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of one man death reigned, through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? God has said in His Word, I would that every man repent and be saved. And in Christ Jesus, we all can. Under law, every time we sinned, judgment came upon us. And we had to kill another animal. And kill another animal. and kill another animal and kill another animal and kill another animal until finally there would be no more animals left. You do understand that. It would be mass extinction of every living creature, every living clean creature on the planet Earth if every sin was atoned for, truly atoned for, by the death of an animal. And God knew that. He wanted us to understand how perverse our sin was and what it causes. Can you imagine going into Israel at Easter time, at the Passover? Now, of course, to them it wasn't Easter, it was the Passover when they had to sacrifice the lamb. And all the peoples who by the time of Christ, the prophecy was beginning to be truly fulfilled, that there were more of them than could be counted, more than the stars in the sky, more than the grains of sand on the seashore. And they each had to sacrifice a lamb. Can you imagine the screaming that was going on as those lambs were being sacrificed up on that hill? Can you imagine the amount of blood that was pouring forth from Jerusalem? They literally say that the stream that pours out from Jerusalem ran as blood, a river of blood coming out of Jerusalem. Can you imagine the smell of those thousands of animals being burnt day after day after day after day as that aroma went up before God? Is it any wonder God said, "I deplore your sacrifices"? He had enough of sacrifices. He wanted holy lives. And he knew the only way we were ever going to be able to receive and walk in that reality was if he himself paid the price once and for all for only the eternal blood of the Lamb, who is Jesus Christ, needed to flow once and be offered up. And the grace of God would cover us all for all time. So when the Magi came, their eyes were open. They were looking for a king, but not the kind of king that we really know now in Christ Jesus. Because the king that we know is the king of forgiveness, the king of life, the king of eternity, the king who can wipe away every fear, who can bring about every hope that we would ever have. Because in him the fullness of God dwelt. And the grace that he has given us, says here in verse 18, consequently, just as the result of the trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. The grace of God is so wide, so high, so deep, that all of the universe cannot contain it. Because the grace of God is God. And his name is Jesus Christ. And he was given for you and I. Throughout the scriptures, when we hear of what's being told, and it's so amazing to me, and I don't know if many of us realize it, you know, we think of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you know that the apostles, each one who has written in the New Testament, doesn't call it just the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you know what they call it? The gospel of God's grace in Jesus Christ. We, the church, have taken out the grace part because so many of our churches are so fundamental and legalist in their manner of bringing things across that, well, if you want to be saved, you got to be baptized. Well, I was baptized when I was 4 or 5 years old. Oh, no, you got to be baptized by me. You've got to be dunked. Yeah. You got to go down 3 times. Once in the name of the Father, once in the name of the Son, and once in the name of the Holy Spirit. And if it's not done that way on a full moon on the 4th Saturday of February, it's not going to happen. There's people on the internet right now thinking, what is that guy talking about? But you all know what I mean. Even you out there on the internet know what I mean. The legalism, it's not about legalism. It's about grace. The grace of God came. It was a free gift. There's no strings attached. And all he says is, receive me. Believe by faith. Walk by faith, not by sight. And as you walk, I'll meet you. I'll walk with you. And there are going to be many times that in his grace, he carries us. Can I get an amen on that one? Because without His grace, there are times that we would not get out of bed. But by His grace, we can put one foot in front of the other. And soon we'll be walking out the door. To quote a worldly famous Christmas song. But you and I need to understand that we belong to something that is so great. For grace that is allows us not only to begin a new year without fear of the past, but also allows us to be transformed each day into a new beginning. Each moment as we follow and obey the commands of Christ truly transforms who we are and allows us to be once again the image of God. Because you see, that's what grace does. Grace transforms us back to the image that was sold for a meal from Adam and Eve. That's why Jesus said, "He who comes to me will hunger and thirst no more." Because for a meal we were sold, and for a meal we've been bought. What's the meal? The bread and the cup of the Lord, our communion. Don't ever forget that. We were sold for a meal, and we were bought for a meal, or by a meal. And it's in that meal, in the sharing of that cup and that bread, that we have communion with God. And as we walk in that communion and we obey His commands, we are transformed from what was to what is yet becoming. And I'll tell you right now, each and every one of us is yet becoming. We have not arrived. We won't arrive until the day we are raptured up or the day that we are brought into heaven. And even then, you're not going to be whole until the rapture when you're given your new body. Then we're made right. Then we're whole. Then we're holy. Now, I made a comment earlier that we belong to the Heart of Christ Church, THOC. But you see, God showed to me, and I shared it with the elders here just a couple weeks ago, and Ryan said, "Huh, that sounds like a sermon coming." It's not a sermon. It's the point of a sermon. Because you see, THOC stands for something else too. Most acronyms can do that. But it was so amazing to me because I was praying and the Lord showed me what THOC stands for. THOC stands for transformed hearts obeying Christ's commands. You see, when you come into the church of the Heart of Jesus, or the Heart of Christ Church, okay? But when you leave here after having heard the Word and being transformed by it, you leave here part of THOC. You leave here as THOC, transformed hearts obeying Christ's commands. When you come under the Word, you cannot help but being a transformed heart, a transformed individual. Why and how? By obeying the commands of Christ. So when you think about who we are, there's a whole lot more to the words than we intended when we started it. But the Father of Heaven shows us who we're to become. You may come as this, but when you go, you're going to be that. And isn't that the truth of Christmas? When we come to the Christ, we come as sinful human beings. But when we leave, we're something else. When we have believed and received, we leave as free men and women. That the past holds us no more. And through that reality, we can begin to live the life of grace that God has given us. And yes, it's called a life of grace because we don't hold grudges against others as well. When they sin against us, we are free and able to forgive and walk as though it never happened. And that only happens through a transformed heart that has received the grace and is now obeying the grace of Christ's command. So today, as part of THOC, I pray that you will receive the gift and go from here being THOC, a transformed heart, obeying Christ's command. Would you rise with me this day as we pray? Gracious Father, you brought your Son into the world to give us salvation, to bring us justification and sanctification. But Lord, there's so much more than we can understand in those few simple words. And Lord, yes, I know they're not simple words, because we're still trying to figure out what justification is and sanctification is and how it all works together. But the reality is, Lord, even those things are under grace, because without your grace, we're nothing. But what you brought was grace, is grace, and we live in it. But the day is coming, Lord, when it will disappear. So, Father, I pray that you would bless each and every one of these people here, that you would guide them in their most holy faith, that you would illuminate them by the light of Christ in each of their lives through the power of your Holy Spirit, that they truly may live those transformed lives as they obey your word. Because that's who we are, Thak. But that's also who we're becoming, Thak. Transformed hearts, obeying Christ's commands. We give you ourselves this day, O Lord, and we pray that you would bless the hearers, that you would bring your salvation upon our hearers as we speak these words, that you would bring sanctity and safety into each and every life, that you would bring blessing each into every household throughout this new year, and that you would show your will in 2016 unto your people, that we may be guided by your hand, not of our own choosing, but to walk by faith and not by sight, to hear your word, to see your face, and to be your people. For this we pray thee in the name that is above every name, the name at which every knee shall bow and confess that he is Lord, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.